I feel the voice.
Oh, move yours all the way. Like, give it a this much gap.
This much gap.
Well, you can move it. You can move it away if you want, or move back. However. Yeah, that's it.
We out ya.
So, am I doing the right thing? Okay. Yeah. Ah.
What was that? Was that really necessary?
That's highly moist.
We're doing
already. No.
Oh, Justin. Luckily, it's not me this week. Actually, you go ahead.
Okay, let's start again.
Let's start
week, so I was
wait. I'm not editing. Hello from the edit, it's Future Alvin.
Yeah, so it's Cameron here.
Hi guys, Justin here.
Hey, it's your girl T here on After Sundown Podcast.
And you're locked into the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy.
It's about to be a mazzoline still.
Genuinely, guys, it's one of you two.
Oh my gosh.
How was everyone's week?
It's all right.
Spectacular.
Such a beard, huh? Oh. I have to think about it.
Nothing really interesting happened to me.
Yeah.
All right.
This week will be a better week for me.
Yes.
I hope so.
Hair
as well.
Done, nails done, gospel jam.
Oh, gospel jam this week?
Meeting with my friends. Meeting with my friends as well. And my essay would have been submitted tonight, so I'm living my best life.
Yeah.
For a week.
Only for a week, no.
Literally. Guys, remember you guys on squeaky chairs, so keep the bumper still.
Oh.
Justin's a nice, you know.
Do you know what it reminds me of? You know
what
that,
do you think reminds you of? Because you reminds me of something as well. But it's probably the
same
thing.
You know that, I think it was on Vine, of this girl who does, no, I can't remember what it is. And she does this like,
the twerking thing.
Yeah, but she's not quite twerking.
Like, she's basically breaking her back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of as well.
And she's wearing glasses up.
Yeah, exactly, so we're thinking about the same thing.
Oh, that's crazy.
You guys have got questions though. What would you do, yeah?
Oh, gosh.
Here we go.
I'm scared. Why am I scared? I don't know.
Here we go.
Okay. If you could be a CEO of any company, what would the company be?
Oh. Okay, CEO. I'm not as scared as I used to be.
CEO of any company.
Yeah. CEO, the top dog.
Unilever. Wow.
What?
Ooh.
Uni what?
That is a good
Unilever.
One. Unilever.
What's that?
Yeah, you don't. Everything Unilever makes.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is that it's what it's made.
All the cleaning products that you Lynx, Vaseline, they own all of those brands.
Everything. I swear, did they own Nestle at one point as well?
Nestle is its own, I think.
Oh, is it? It's its own, okay.
But, or Nestle, like, that's a company you want to own, Nestle. Or, really, I'd own Unilever. They make everything. Lynx, all of that stuff. They make some foods as well.
I'd be stressed. Let me just be a CEO of, like, I don't know, a startup.
A what?
Startup. That's if I wanted to be rich.
I don't know what I'd pick.
The
first thing that came to my mind was Apple.
Yeah, same. Mm.
Why Apple?
I don't know. I really want a new phone. And at the moment, I'm not going to be able to get one. Anyone wants to sponsor me?
Oh my god. That is such a crap.
I would be now, but also Apple, I feel like in terms of technology,
I wouldn't want to be,
and how it's in every it's in the most house and households now, and I don't even think it even discriminates, like, backgrounds and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, no matter what, people have, like, at least one gadget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
And I just feel like, because before it used to be, you know, in huge competition with other brands and stuff. I don't know if it's the same anymore.
Move your mic that way a bit, back a bit.
I would be the CEO of Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Why Facebook?
Because Facebook controls Insta. I'll just, you know.
And Snapchat.
And Snap. It controls a lot. I feel like.
And WhatsApp.
They just need on WhatsApp. There needs to be like
they're in charge of communication.
Literally, it just needs to be like certain parameters.
You'd be CEO of Google.
Yeah.
You've already said yours. Sorry.
Trust me. You don't get another
Google.
One.
Google.
To be honest, my second one was Kellogg's. I don't know why. I just thought of cereal.
Now, Kellogg's is big in it, though.
And they were FDA to begin with. So
I can't lie. I don't want to be a CEO of the big companies.
Bring it back.
Bring it back.
Bring it back to the church. You know what I mean?
Big Australian company called Weetabix, which spawned Weetabix. That used to be.
What would you? Who would you pick, Justin?
I actually don't know. You know.
Bix. I don't know either. I don't really know things.
I actually don't know. It has to be something with fitness, though.
No, fair. Something you're passionate about.
Yeah.
I don't think anything that I'd want to do. Like, I don't want to be in charge of like health supplies. So I mean, that's a bit boring.
True. Mad.
By the day, like.
So, today's episode. Today's episode. What's today's episode?
It's about Joel.
Give me. Oh, I was going to introduce you to the song.
Go on.
Let's give it a chuckle.
It's gone now. The energy's gone.
What was it? Give me the Bible.
It's okay.
It's all petty.
Oh, please.
It's no, because it's more of an anticlimax.
Today's episode is going to be.
On Job.
Oh my god!
Let's get it in.
Okay, let's go.
On Job.
I don't know. What do we know about the Book of Job? Or
who wrote Job?
Who wrote it?
Ooh,
good question.
That's a great question.
As far as I understand, Moses is. But I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, no. But I heard it in a thing that I was listening to.
Oh, did you?
Moses, Moses.
Good old Moses.
You might... Okay.
Also, sorry. I recommend everyone watch Prince of Egypt, the musical. It is phenomenal.
I'm so annoyed that you wanted to see it without me.
But Alvin, I was on a date.
You know the excuses, though.
Never mind. Third wheel. I've said before, I don't like.
Well, I'll happily go watch it again because I loved it so much. Like, you know, when you just think that I've probably missed things as well. Like,
I was literally just like,
oh my days, where do I look like? There's something happening here.
Yeah. Never turn. Listen, folks. Never turn a good bicycle into a tricycle. Now, if I were to. If I were
you're
to,
you just say,
the camera's not laughing because I've used that one before. If I was to, I love that film. It's one of my childhood films.
Exactly. I felt
even
so
it's
emotional.
Biblically inaccurate, but
Prince of Egypt.
It's even more inaccurate in the musical.
Really?
Prince of Egypt.
No, like, there's just something to just like.
Prince of Egypt.
No, I can't. No, you have
is
to.
Is it the same?
Pretty much.
Why does the hate on everything?
Honestly,
you see a sunset.
Oh, okay.
And like,
I didn't have any pre-knowledge.
It's all right.
I don't know if I'm gonna watch it. When am I next going to London?
Alvin, you make the time. It's up until September.
I've gone so many times to London already.
Alvin, it is on until September.
Just catch the train.
If you don't go, I'm,
okay.
I have to reevaluate this friendship to me.
Wow, we need to start again. So, today's episode is about...
Job.
It's the Book of Job.
My guy, Job. So, who was Job?
Who wrote Job?
As in the bigger...
Moses.
me.
Me, what, you could flip it upside down, Justin, if you want it. Or are you comfortable?
Yeah.
Cool. Justin, you're going to ask a question? I don't know.
Who was Job, innit? Who was Job?
Who was he? He was a man.
Yeah.
Who lived in the land of Oz.
How is you thinking?
He was perfect
the
and upright, and
that's what I thought as well.
He was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and shewed evil.
Shewed evil, you know.
Was he perfect then?
I mean, that's what the book says.
I think it says that, you know.
It says, a man that was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So, he feared God, as in loved God. He eschewed evil, as in that means he shunned evil, pushed it away from him. So much so that later on you discover that even for his children, he's praying for his children in case his children have sinned and haven't
prayed for themselves.
Yeah. He's like, and again, we've said it before in an episode when, like, our parents interceding.
Yeah, parents interceding for us.
And he was rich as well. Let's not forget he was rich.
Yeah, money, man.
I was just going to say.
He was very wealthy. No, he was actually really wealthy. Like,
trust me.
Ridiculous. Like,
man had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and then 500.
Job the CEO. Basically,
Job the CEO.
Off us.
Of us.
Why do you want 500 donkeys though? Just share that at us. Just a question though. Wait, did they have horses back in those days?
Yeah, they
should have.
Yeah, they had horses.
Did they have?
Because they had donkeys. So.
In the Bible?
Because that guy
came on a chariot.
Pardon? Horses short.
Yeah, of course.
Wasn't the Romans in that?
Yeah, of course they've had horses.
But
he's
and even before that. I know.
He's
like, but do you know what I was speaking of?
Moses.
In the New Testament, they were definitely there.
Yeah.
I can say that confidently. But they have to be there.
Why are we questioning them?
I don't know why. Horses are there. It's because when I... Yeah, I don't know.
If camels are there. I mean, no, they were there. I don't think they were there. I was thinking about the perfection, like the question of perfection. Obviously, I don't think he was... I don't think he was without sin.
Exactly, but I'm saying he was perfect.
He was definitely...
How God wants us to be perfect in terms of us always seeking to do our best, recognising our wrong, asking forgiveness, and obviously accepting like salvation and Christ dying for us and things like that.
The Bible says there's only one who was without sin, Jesus. And that was Jesus. So he
definitely sinned.
I think the term without sin just says that He never sinned. But in terms of perfect, I think
at this point he might
perfect is different
because he's searching his mind. Later on, you'll see that. I think though he might have reached the point where he's like, where we hope to reach, where he's day by day by sanctification, he's attaining every day better and better to the will of God. Mm. I think he'd reached that point. But I just take it as it reads. He's perfect and upright. I just take it as...
No, but you have to understand it only because it has a lot of implications of obviously how we see perfection and what we aspire to be.
So what is perfection?
I don't want to go into that.
I think it's worth going into.
What is perfection? I kind of explained it.
You defined it?
I kind of explained it before in terms of like he was always seeking to do what was...
Right, correct. Right. Yes, upright. And as you said, Alvin.
Yeah.
Upright.
Yeah.
So yeah.
When but obviously, I know in our context, it's obviously accepting the gift of salvation. I'm not, because obviously, his Old Testament, so technically, like he would have still had sacrifices and all that.
Yeah, but so yeah. But he's still being justified. Same way that we are.
Yeah. So for him, it would have been a bit different in terms of he would have to be sacrificing that. But we don't have to do that.
Yeah, I almost don't want to cover perfection now.
That's why I said we're not going into it.
Let's leave it.
But you also said that he didn't give us sacrifices though. Is it early in the morning? We became a routine for him to give.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think what we've covered is calm.
Yeah.
But it's important to understand it because it's obviously who Job was as a person.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why God saw favour in him to allow.
So let's skip to that part. Let's skip to that part where the devil calls to the angels and
God.
Let's go to that part. I think it's the last six. One day the angels came to present themselves to the Lord and Satan also came with them. What happened to you, Tom? Did Satan come to your foot?
Come to my foot. I was just going to say, in a nutshell, I was going to say what I think perfection is. In a nutshell, if I can. In a nutshell, I think perfection is what Revelation says of the people who live just before the time that Christ comes. It says...
Isn't it verse 1?
It says, these are they who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said chapter 6.
I think that's what perfection is.
You're going to say it again.
Essentially, in a nutshell, if I can get that concept in a nutshell, I think perfection is what Revelation says of the people who live just before Christ comes, which is that it says, these are they who have who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. In another place, it will say, these are they who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. So, essentially, ultimately, perfection is what God will get us to. Oh my gosh. Ultimately, perfection is what God will get us to. Perfection is what Adam and Eve were before they fell.
Yeah. That's it.
That's not what I am now. And I don't, if you can claim that, then I don't know. But I, that's not what I am.
Well, then that means that you're sinless then?
No, no. But when it says of Christ, he was without sin, it meant he never sinned.
I know, but Adam and Eve before they fell.
As in, that's what God wants. He wants to get us to the point where we are with, like, going forward, we're not sinning.
But that's not possible, what
I
mean, on this earth.
I don't, pardon?
That's not possible on this earth.
Why not?
To not sin.
Why not?
Because we're born into sin, so how can we not?
So when will we be,
not sin.
When will we not sin?
Sinless.
In heaven?
I think well before then.
On earth,
I semi agree with Arvin.
Why, if it's the case that we won't be able to,
I think it's tempted is a bit different to.
Yeah, we won't be tempted at all in heaven.
I think. I think we'll be.
If Christ was the only person on earth to not sin,
who had never sinned,
who had never sinned.
So how can
this is what I'm saying. By the time that Christ comes, we'll be in the position that we are not sinning. Everything that Christ says, we do.
Yeah,
that's my understanding of the Bible, of perfection.
I agree with that. We'll go into it another time. No,
I'm tempted to edit it out so that we study it out and then keep it in. But that's my perspective now. I could be wrong. Yeah, and if I am, then I'm happy to be corrected. Let's go into Job. Go on, Justin.
Jeez. Obviously, one day.
Yeah.
The angels presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan came to
them. Sorry. Chapter and verse. I'm really sorry.
Oh, 1 verse 6.
Just for the listeners, but go on, yeah.
Yeah, 1 verse 6, yes. Job 1 verse 6. Oh, am I reading that?
Okay, now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one who fears God and eschews evil?" And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear you for nothing or for naught? Have not you made a hedge around him and about his house and about all that he has on every side?"
So what's like, okay, so boom. So from verse 6, you can see, so here are the sons of God. The sons of God, mm-hmm. in from what I've been studying, were mm-hmm. the angels.
Yeah.
So God is in, so God, and basically I'm imagining there's God, we're in heaven, there's God, there's Satan, there's the bad angels, and then there's also like the good angels.
There's one bad angel.
Sorry.
The only angel. So
is he the only one there?
So what happens is.
Okay, so yeah, he's the only one there.
Yeah.
He's come out of the crowd and him and God are having a conversation.
Yeah, in front of everyone.
Yeah. So, but I think it's very important that we understand. And there's only, I think that comes into, in terms of like, what do you call it? The term for it's gone from my head. Like the battle for like
the controversy. The great controversy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that in a sense is part of the great controversy. God has to show and almost prove that we are worthy to the angels, because the angels have to see that we are worthy to be with them in heaven. They can't. They won't just accept it.
And that
justification.
The roles were reversed, we would accept it. So if we were the angels,
I 100% agree. 100% agree.
So that's all I say. And that's only verse six as well. So we'll keep pressing.
Well, like to me, the whole thing is like, so there's several. So I was gonna say one of the things I was gonna say is, sons of God in this instance means angel.
Mm-hmm.
Angels. There are other instances where sons of God does not mean angels.
Yeah, yeah.
So like in Genesis 6, the flood chapter. It says,
yeah.
It talks about the sons of God uniting with the daughters of men. That means people, as in people, children of God were uniting with children not of God. And the reason why, for example, that's just a side thing. There's a whole study to be had with that. But essentially, they're the angels of God who are always in heaven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they, so they're those angels. But then they're also representatives of essentially other worlds who are described as angels there. So Satan is one of those representatives who goes up. Because you see that it's his domain when it says from going to and fro on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there in Adam's place whom he essentially stole earth from. In fact, like in the New Testament, there's somewhere where Jesus says, where Jesus refers to Satan as the prince of this world.
Mm.
So like,
This is his domain.
It's true, though. It is true.
Yeah, it is true. So God is essentially called everyone up to heaven, and there's this meeting going on.
Yeah, so we'll just,
jeez, that's actually deep.
Nice.
But, and it's not the only place it happens, but anyway.
So they're having a discussion, and Satan's basically trying to say to God, Job, the person that you said is like true and righteous or whatever, he's only righteous because of what you've given him. Yeah, because you've put a literal hedge around him.
Mm.
He's all like, so that's obviously we could stay on this point. I feel like we always do go on and about this point when we do study Job. In terms of like, would we still let's go. Why would you do that?
2-0. Carry on.
Welcome to the After Sun Now podcast.
carry on.
I forgot. I've lost my train of thought now.
We're talking about how we dwell on the point of
how God had built a hedge around him.
Yeah. So
we stay on this point, wasn't it?
So Satan's basically saying that Job only worships him because he builds his hedge around him. God's saying, nah. Job is actually like an upstanding, righteous person. And I think it shows how Satan knows us and then how God knows us.
Oof.
So, like, Satan only knows us from, like, what he sees. He can be in our minds only if we allow him to be. But God is, like, in your soul, like, in your heart. Like, he knows, like, you. So, this isn't... For God, he knows the outcome. But he has to, again, prove it to the other worlds, to the angels, to everyone else that, yo, like, this guy is, Job is say, he will not forsake me. And it kind of goes, like, oh, yeah. So the question that I had was, are we only true to God when we're in our high points? And I feel like we've discussed this before in terms of, because he was a rich man, like, does that make us comfortable as like Christians?
I would, that's a good question. I think for me, if I was Adam, the question that a lot of it's not coming later.
I'd say you can actually get to know God. Personally, I've got to know God more when I've struggled.
Nah, definitely.
Hands down. So,
but I feel like if I was like me personally, if I was born into like a rich thing, I was rich myself, I would think that like you know what it is, like I've been blessed, like God has bossed case for me, like I can do this, I can do that. There's opportunities that I've seen other people cannot do, but I can do. But then like, say if I've lost the owner, then it's like, okay, so kind of when you are rich, it's kind of easier for you to like kind of stray away from God, because then you cannot decipher, like, as in the person who has brought you up, and then like the person who like can easily just like through sin can easily take that away, then it's just like a different feeling.
Yeah,
but I think also like, for obviously what's a struggle for one person obviously might not be a struggle for another person. So I think obviously him being rich, I'm sure he had hard times too. Like could be like a disease hit his cattle. But then it's like, oh, you know what? Okay, I'll pray to God about that. But at the end of the day, I've still got all this other cattle, so we're gonna be all right. But it's not a great situation. Do you know what I mean? So I think you can definitely still like know God and things, and no matter if like the higher you get in life, because I think you're always gonna have challenges. It just might not be as catastrophic or as big as somebody else's who may not be as comfortable as you are. And I think that's why people always. They do naturally compare themselves with
compare
people.
People's comparing pain, basically. Yeah, yeah.
But it's like actually just because it's not, you don't see that as pain, doesn't mean that that's not pain for that person. Just like when a kid complains about something, you're just like, you've not experienced life yet. But for that kid, losing that toy is the worst thing that can happen to them. And it's like, you can see how distressed they are about it. But then it's like, for you, it's like, okay, I've lost something. Okay, cool. But if I'm losing money now, different scenario. Do you know what I mean? So I think we have to be mindful of that as well.
I was thinking like the crazy thing is like one in my head there's this angel who's fallen, or there's this angel who's been cast out of heaven, and there's the awkwardness that every like this angel or like is always coming back. This angel who sowed dissension, who drew a third of God's angels out of heaven onto earth. And there's this conversation that God starts it. And God is the one. So, and the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Satan hasn't said anything yet. And God said, Satan speaks first. He says, I've come from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. So he says, I've come from ruling my territory. And then God says, well, have you considered my servant Job? He doesn't seem to, he seems to be disobedient to your rules or to what you're suggesting. And Satan makes the argument that he will, if God removes everything around him, he will curse God to his face. And God says, okay, let's go ahead, let's go with it. Which sort of answers a question that I've had myself, but also a question that I don't know that I know certainly other people have asked, because our friends have asked it. You've read it on the internet, and that question is, well, why does God allow suffering?
That's like them. Yeah, I think. I don't even know if I want to say this yet, but I think the main thing about this story that jumps out to me is that, despite the fact whether like Job had a lot or he didn't have anything, God was still there for him, and he was still blessed in a certain capacity. Like even when he got his stuff back, like if the same
situation. Skipping ahead, like.
Oh, so yeah, I'm skipping ahead. Sorry.
A real skipper.
I'm skipping ahead.
No. It's not.
I think there's lots of different themes that can come out.
It's true.
Like
it's true.
Okay, so
the reason I was asking the question was because like. It almost like, to me, it's like the story, as much as the story is about Job, it's about the angels.
Yeah.
And it's about God's character, and it's about...
and Job's integrity as well.
Yeah. It's about... Satan makes an accusation. The crazy thing is, God could have said... because God knows that Job... God knows what Job's action is going to be. If anything is to befall Job, God knows this is what his action is going to be. But the angels don't know.
Can God have that much confidence in us?
Well.
Like.
That's a question.
If God searched your heart, like, what would. Like,
if God said, consider my servant Alvin.
Yeah.
Nope. I don't think God would even say that. Not at this point.
There should be a certain point where God's like, yo, I can almost rely. When does God... Yeah. God doesn't need almost. You.
I can.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But I think God still can. It doesn't mean that he has to take everything from you like he did to Job. As in, God can still consider you and be like, okay, just do this one... Like, don't allow Alvin to get that job. Because for you, that could... Do you get what I'm saying? So
I mean, in the sense of like, if Satan were to, would God be able to say, regardless of what happens to Alvin, he will trust me. Like, and there's going to come a question, there's going to come a time where that won't be just a question, but it'll be an actual thing. Like, recently I've started reading again a book called The Great Controversy, and the first chapter in that book, it's a chapter. The first chapter is called The Destruction of Jerusalem, if I remember correctly, if I remember the title. In that chapter, it talks about how Jerusalem was destroyed, and not just that, the lead up to it. So Jerusalem was besieged, so soldiers were encamped around the city, Roman soldiers, I think, if I remember correctly, it was Titus or something like that, who was the general, if I remember. But anyway, they're besieged. People start behaving in interesting ways. The rich start hoarding all the resources. The poor will try and sneak out of the city to try and get something. If they bring it back, it's snatched from them. Like, all people are fighting to survive. Not only that, at some point, mothers start eating their children and children killing their parents. Like, it gets to that stage.
Mausoleum.
Yeah? And those who saw the signs of what was about to come fled and left. Yeah? And they were told, don't go back for anything. Just go. That's what Jesus said. When you see the sign, but when you see this sign, go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the sign of the abomination of desolation, I think, but I can't remember. In any case, when you see the sign, go. And those who heeded God's word and who believed God to be the Messiah left.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing seems to me to be what will happen at the end of time. Which is that we could lose everything. We could be imprisoned. We could have the risk of our lives. Like I think of the reformers and how they were told, some of them were told, recant. So take back what you believe, or it's over.
Yeah.
Could we go through that? But that, anyway.
Different subject.
Ish.
So yeah, chapter 2.
Now there's a part at the end of verse 1, yeah, where obviously he's like gone through his time, where he's like lost things. As in,
Sorry.
Did you find it funny how, not funny, but like bizarre, how like one after another, the servants.
Literally, the way is, that's another thing as well, like as in, even when his oxen got taken.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, it was only one servant that came back. So obviously, he's lost workers already.
Yeah.
He's lost that empire. Like, his warehouse has gone down.
Mm.
And then, like, his other camels have gone. And it's only one messenger that came back. And who escaped? So it's just mad. And then, like, there's more when, like, four winds took the corners of the house. Mm. Took the four corners of the house. So obviously, all of his children are dead. And then one messenger came back.
Well, how many children did he have? Was it 10?
He had, like,
seven sons, three daughters.
So he had 10. So, like, he lost everything, but then he literally still got on his knees and was like, oh, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, for the Lord's name is still worthy to be praised.
Yeah.
I was just like, whoa, like, all of them things, all of them.
And what's crazy is, he doesn't even, like...
He doesn't even know. The thing is, the maddest thing about this story is that God never tells Job, Wagwan.
Yeah, what's going
to
happen?
The whole time, God is
the silent. Whole time, even to the extent of, God kind of... God kind of, in the whole of the book, God does show, like, Job, like, a kind of dream or something.
I didn't know whether it was...
He doesn't show him the full story, basically. Yeah, he just says, yo, everything will be fine. But he doesn't say the conversation he had with Satan. If God had told Job,
Job would have been cool.
But then that's not the point.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people are watching.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not just Satan. It's just everyone. Is it everyone? Like,
I don't know. Job would have been cool. about that just because he knew that the conversation.
Yeah, I don't
if God told me that, oh, I had the conversation with the devil, so you took out my children, I wouldn't be cool about that.
Yeah, no, it's true though. No.
At that time, it's not the time to be telling me. I think telling him actually at that point would have been more damage than good because I'm just like.
So I'm just a pawn in this, like.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So it's like. Okay, like, you're trying to take either way, he's a pawn. You're trying to take this like, experience, but yeah. Then it's just like, did you really have to do that?
I think sometimes God's silence
is a lot better than him telling us what is going on.
Let me give it. I'm gonna be.
Could we just need
I'm
to
gonna,
trust his character.
I'm gonna be devil's advocate. I'm gonna stir the pot. There we go.
Go on, go on, go on.
Check this.
Stir it. Whip it.
So Abraham wakes up, doesn't tell his wife, wakes his son up. Goes with servants and goes to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son. Knowing God has said, yo, go sacrifice my son. To me, it's just like, this is a situation where now this guy Abraham knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And Abraham, in his mind, he goes, well, God will raise him up. If God, as in God, in Hebrews 11, we're told that, I think it's Hebrews 11, faith. We're told that he thinks... He believe,
but no, yeah, it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, check out Hebrews 11, folks, yeah. And it explains sort of that he thinks that God, he believed that God would raise him up.
Mm.
I hope it's Hebrews 11. If not,
is that by faith,
yeah.
Abraham?
Yeah, but carry on. If I find it, I find it. If I don't, I don't. By faith, Abraham, when he was
called to go
out into the place which he should receive inheritance, obeyed. Blah, blah, blah. By faith, sojourned in the land of promise. Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, nah, to be honest, it's just that last point. As in, he did. Obviously, he said he didn't know what was going on. He didn't know that all of these stuff were going against him. But like, he still got down on his knees and was like, "Yo, Lord, your name is still worthy to be praised." Mm. And obviously, he still didn't cross God to do anything like that.
But the reason why I made that point about like. God not telling us this. But have you like been in a situation where you don't know why God is why it's happening to you, whatever, you get through it and then you know you thank God at the end, but have any of you thought that you would rather know at the time?
No, because you know, here's the thing, like,
I think there's a beauty in that Job experience
knew God's character, and God needed Job to just trust and to, if you know, okay, for example, you know that all of us know that our parents wouldn't do stuff to hurt us, like, but if, like, for example, like a wild example, they have to chop off our leg or something, we should have the trust. Not chop off our leg, that's a bit extreme. Let's say at uni, and you're living in halls or whatever, and your parents say, I'm not paying your uni fees anymore. Like, you're there fuming.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
But you should have the trust to see your parents' foresight, because what you see is not what they see.
Mm.
You get me? Like, they could be putting the money somewhere else for something a lot better. Maybe ministry, it could be for something that you have no idea, like your grandma could be going through something, it could just be,
you have no idea,
or it could be the opposite in terms of, okay, you were doing extracurricular activities and your parents decide, actually no, you can't go anymore, but it's because they're saving for your uni fund,
and then
you're like, oh, that's what the money was used for all that time, so it might have been a sacrifice for me then. But now I'm like,
yeah.
Like reaping
thanks for the example.
That was a
better one.
That's what
my
mom did to me,
innit? So. Yeah. Wow. Okay, so Tanith was fuming at the time, you know. Cursing our mum, you know.
Nah, it's all good. Look at mum. Let's
go to Job 2. Someone read from 1 to 6. I don't like reading.
On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present themselves before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me." Incited?
Which verse, sir?
Verse Three. I think it's inside of me. Against him to ruin him without any reason. Skin for skin, Satan replied, a man will give all he has for his own life. But now, stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, he's in your hands, but you must spare his life.
That's mad stuff. So obviously we have like Satan going up to
heaven.
The meeting heaven again. And obviously Satan comes out of the crowd again and is like, yo, have you considered my servant Job? And it's like he still maintains that integrity. He's still got it in him. Obviously Satan's just giving excuses and like, so let me damage his skin basically. And that's what we're going off as in, surely he will curse you if I can cause damage to him. Obviously the Lord obviously is gracious and said let him spare his life.
Mm.
Which he has to, of course, because like,
yeah,
if his life is gone, then you can't really,
yeah,
I mean, you can't really test it. Yeah.
True.
If you think about it, it's also in Satan's interest to keep Job alive
for as long as possible in the torture.
Mm. Again, because that whole watching thing, like the other angels can't like. It will just prove God's point.
Yeah.
Even like, if he dies.
Literally the easy way out.
Thing, though, what's crazy is already God has been shown to be
merciful.
God is a man that he should not lie. God hasn't lied. Satan said, if you what did he say?
The first one, yeah,
he will curse you to your face. You.
Mm-hmm.
If you take it, all that he possesses, except don't touch him.
Yeah,
Satan has gone and has done his thing. And now they've come back. And God is like, right, I can imagine so...
God that's like...
yeah, literally.
I've been waiting for you. It took a bit long roaming, but here you are, do you know what I mean? Like,
took a bit long roaming.
Did I get lost, mate? Because you know God's finished.
Right, oh, I can just see... Okay, it's just awkward. Imagine...
Yeah.
Oh, I nearly said imagine but deeper, being
even,
in that
even,
position.
Even with the, like, even, no, even with the reply, it's like skin for skin. Yeah. It's like one of those, the upbro answer is just like, yo, quickly, skin for skin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Easy word. What's that?
Literally.
That's crazy.
Saying got cocky again.
Literally.
And it's like, remember that, and what happened the last
liar,
time?
The father of it.
Father of liars.
The father of it.
I was thinking, because obviously I was watching one sermon about this. And he was talking about his friends a lot.
Job's friends?
Yeah, Job's friends.
Yeah, we're going to come to that after.
Yeah,
you keep getting there too early, mate. You need to settle down.
Nah, but yes, obviously, Satan gives him boils on his skin. And like...
By God's permission.
Yeah, that's from crazy. God's permission. Yeah. And obviously, like, what happens now?
It's so painful.
His wife comes along.
To the point where, what is he doing? To the point where he gets a... cracked pot or piece of pottery and it's like scraping
the bones off,
crop it up
to like relieve the itch and to relieve the
that's like them bursting things on Insta. Those are nasty, bro.
Obviously, like let's go on to the part where his wife basically says, how you maintain integrity, curse God and die.
Who says that?
It's so funny.
His wife.
Can I make a little side note?
Go on.
Everyone should be looking for integrity in their partner. The fact that the wife even questioned his integrity is just like...
Do you know what it is?
That's
actually
so mad.
I get where she's coming from, because like, it's not just Joe going through that situation.
Yeah, it's both of them.
Like, literally, she's lost 10 kids. She's basically on...
But it shows
that
they were
not... Now.
Maybe they weren't equally yoked.
Yes. That is very true as well.
I've just finished reading the book of Ezra. Do you know how the book of Ezra ends?
I was like that uncle, you know, like...
Do you know how the book of Ezra ends?
Hello?
So he almost makes... Anyway, sorry. Yeah. She might not have been equally yoked to Job.
Yeah.
But she might have.
Or maybe just at this so, point they were...
Everything's a tangent,
so
you know.
So if it's getting
I mean,
quiet,
my
then,
point
like...
was with the context of the book.
I was going to say, to add on to, like, Talitha's point, I was going to say, like, who is speaking to Job at that point?
The wife, of course.
It is the wife, but is who speaking behind the wife?
Satan.
If Jesus were there, would he not have said, get thee behind me, Satan? That's genuinely the thought I thought. Like, sometimes
I hear that.
We like, I've realized that I could be like, I've been praying, Lord, show me if I'm leading someone into sin, because I do not want to be I don't want to have be like essentially have Satan in me, be possessed by Satan, leading someone else into sin.
That's why it's important though, when you are going through struggles and that, or suffering, that because you don't know what the bigger picture is, it's important to pray for those who are like
around,
around and involved, who will be involved, because it's like, because you might be going through it, the plan is going to be different for every person. Do you know what I mean? So it's important to pray that those who are meant to be there will be there, and those who aren't, you know, distance yourself or whatever.
You see, I can't lie, now that you said that, Alvin, it makes sense, as in, because in a way, it's like, as in, your wife wouldn't say to you, like, as in, if she knows that type of who you are, the person who you are, it's like, why would you say, how are you maintaining your integrity? You know what I mean? Just curse God and die.
Curse him. That's Satan's words, you know?
Literally, that is.
If Satan wants us to do something, if he wants us to curse God and die, it's exactly what Satan wants. Mm.
He's not beating around the bush, is he?
Satan affects us by sometimes those closest to us.
Mm. Things we watch as
and
well.
Sometimes we can be Satan's instruments. So we must be careful. By the way,
Joel's reply is actually kind of amazing. Obviously, in verse 10, he's like, he replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman."
In my version, it says, "You speak like a foolish child."
Yeah, child. Mad. It says woman.
There's a note on NIV where foolish, it says the Hebrew word rendered foolish denotes moral deficiency.
Wow.
So it's almost like she's actually being removed. Like they're not on the same.
Oh, sorry, it says foolish woman. Sorry, not foolish child. Foolish woman.
But they're not on the same plane. Do you know what I mean? Like there's almost like they're actually polar opposites at this point. Like spiritually.
Yeah.
You've got someone who's morally intact, Job.
Yeah.
And his wife who's morally deficient. Do you know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
That's quite it.
Yeah, I was fine.
Job did not sin what he said. He didn't curse God.
And then that's where we got into your partner coming with the three friends.
Yeah.
So like,
So when I was looking at that part, I was like, rah, they stayed by his side for 7 days and seven nights.
Yeah.
And he had three friends. Was it three?
Yeah,
three friends.
That's all he had left.
So.
At this point,
wait, were the three friends the servants?
No, they were equals or something. Yeah, I was studying about it. Those were like basically because Job was so like he was like a wealthy man, he's like the equivalent of like
he's one of the
Jeff East, Bezos to like I don't know, like he's like another CEO in it, he's the equivalent of that. So they've all just come around him and stuff, and it's kind of funny because. So when I was watching was saying like, how many friends could you call upon he would just come to be with you in that capacity.
Yeah.
He would be with you for 7 days and seven nights. So that was quite interesting.
And also at that time as well, it would have been more unlikely for people to come because they probably thought that it's almost like, you know, you're cursed. Like
you've
got the devil in you rather than the actually opposite which was happening. So those friends actually coming were quite significant at the time, especially.
But that's what ends up happening though, in terms of like they start kind of getting at him and like
explain that. Obviously, like I think as in the way how I read it was like after the 3 days of like silence, because after 3 days, 7 days of like silence, it's like the first thing you're gonna say is like madness. Are you just gonna like come on crud?
Oh yeah, curse because he curses the day that he was born. Because I'm just imagining like he's all these thoughts are rushing through his head, and then he's just got to this point. He's got mad. He's just gone bond this man like, but he's not gone bond God. He's gone like
I wish I was born.
This is long, man. Like
It's
like you know when you get old and you can just complain about anything like.
It's more than, like, to me, it's like, he's going, I wish this day was not even in the calendar. He says stuff like, I wish this day was on its own, was not attached to a month, not attached to a year. I wish I'd never been born. He goes, I wish I'd been, the other passages later, he goes, I wish I'd been carried straight from the womb, straight into the grave. Like, he is done. He's over it.
Doesn't care for his life.
What's interesting is the question I've been asking myself is: His friends have the theory that God put, like, the reason these things have befallen. You can tell that all of them are in ignorance of what's going on. Obviously,
now. Yeah. Of course.
Like, the friends are like, because you've done wickedly, essentially, this has happened to you.
Mm.
They don't know that Job's.
That's what I'm saying. Wickedly. That's what I'm saying, Joe. But that's kind of the dialogue that goes on, like, between, like, the next few chapters. Basically, them saying, like, what have you done? Like, there's something, and then they start, like, naming stuff that hasn't really, he hasn't done, and he's not guilty of. And Job's like, no, I'm not guilty of that. And they're like, you must be. Yeah. Search your mind. But again, they're not. And I think a lot of the times, as friends, we need to, that's why it's important to have spiritual friends, because they need to be aware of who God is as well for themselves. So,
In a way, I think they are. Because, like,
yeah, I want to say, I was thinking that as well.
Because this is the bit because I think to myself, like, the angel of the Lord encampeth around those who fear him, and he shall deliver him. The Lord is our refuge and strength. Like,
a very present help in trouble.
So, I'm like, it's like, so, clearly, like, I think that they're thinking along those lines.
Mm.
Job, on the other hand, is thinking, if I could stand trial before God. One of the things he says is, though, my mouth would condemn me. But if I could, would God come and talk to me? And all of this stuff, like, if I could just have an audience with God. Job must be used to knowing God's will.
Mm.
And he must be used to, and all of this time.
It's almost like he's questioning it, like,
I don't, but like, he has these moments of, like, he's down, and then he has these moments where he's like,
kind of has peace.
Yeah, and he says stuff like, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, and I know that I shall see him with my own eyes. Mm. I myself will see him. Mm. He talks about the salvation that he knows he will have in God. It's bizarre. And to me, though, it's like a discussion of that. Those, quite a lot of those chapters, they have loads of gems in them about certain things, like even like the state of the, like, little gems about the state of the dead, loads of things like that.
Yeah.
But it, ultimately, it's this, it's almost like a discussion of, or it shows the position of ignorance, like, Job doesn't know I'll go on. They don't know what I'm going.
And I think that's what it is. I think when you are in a position where you genuinely do not know, naturally as humans, you question everything, you explore. I mean, it's quite, at the end of the day, if I saw that my friend was suffering, even if I knew that they were an upright person, at the end of the day, people are not all that they seem. So you actually, don't know.
Mindset. It brings out the true mindset of yourself, as in like, what you think about, or where your mind goes when, like, wrong things do happen, or things do not look, like, nice. But obviously, there's another part where, skip to chapter 8, where it's obviously Bilad, one of his friends, speaking. Mm. And obviously, he speaks about, like, as in, obviously questioned, like, I think it's from verse 3, it's like, does God prevent justice? Does the Almighty pervert what is right? When your children sin against him, when your children sinned against him, he gave them over the penalty of their sin. So obviously he's basically talking about his kids now. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you're my boy, and like, you're talking about my kids like that. Like, I've prayed over my kids, and I do sacrifices for my kids all the time. And then, like, you're going to, like, come, like, look like that to me after the 7 days of, like, silence, and you're just, like, talking about my kids, disrespecting my kids in front of my face. It's crazy. And then it's like, in verse 5, it's like, but if you will seek God earnestly and plead with the Almighty, if you are right and if you are pure and upright, even now he will rouse himself on your behalf and restore you to your prosperous state. Obviously, like, that shows that they're basically saying that, like, Job has literally done something wrong. As in, like, so obviously they do not know, but it's like they're literally judging Job in a way, like, as in, Job, you've done something, right? Just, like, confess, like, it doesn't matter what you've done, like, we know, like, we know you truly, so we're your friends, we know that you've done something wrong, so literally just confess and he will literally, or, like, bring you back up to where you were. You know what I mean? Thoughts, guys?
Nah, this is...
This, like, there's one too of the things much, that I spot is that, much, like,
yeah.
Is that, it's like, it's an explanation, like, those questions, what, like, it's almost like there's a whole episode that could be had in this, but, like, the question on suffering, one of the points that they mention is, wow, the wicked sometimes prosper, like, such as they are doing well, and those who are doing...
my course.
So,
very well.
Sorry.
Hey, but it's so the, it's like the, this chap, this, the book of Job answers... poses a lot of the questions that we have and answers most of them. Like, the suffering, like, the suffering, like, all of this is happening. One of the things that interests me is, oftentimes something negative happens, whether it be globally, whether it be a flood, whether it be drought, whatever happens, and the term for that is an act of God. And yet here we see that Satan is a powerful being. And he's the one who is causing some of these things, or who's causing, in Job's case,
God's getting blamed for Satan.
God's getting the blame. Like, the whole conversation is about Job and, like, well, something ain't right, Job.
Yeah.
And well, God, why are you doing this to me? God,
It's something be like bigger, feeding their minds to, like, even question those type of things. So obviously you can just see it. Obviously they're having the conversations, like, telling Job this and that. Job is still, like, giving the replies of, like, a pure integrous nature. Yeah. So it's just like, yeah. But and I that's think, like, oh, go on.
No, go on.
Everyone's best, right?
I was just gonna.
Oh no! Stop it! Oh no! You stop it!
You put the phone down.
No.
Allow it. No, I was just gonna say that.
You do that. I do that. I can't lie.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna be going in 2 minutes.
Everyone's
in 2 minutes.
I don't do that.
Right, bye-bye. I do.
Bye.
Bye.
Just hang up, like. Bye. So after you say the first part.
Bye.
Sorry.
You know what? Let's focus. Go on.
I was just gonna say that, like, I forgot I was gonna say that. I was gonna say something about how obviously Job. I forgot it.
We're talking about suffering. Talking about blaming God.
Yeah, but after that. As in, obviously obviously all three friends had something to say. It's not like one of them, it's like one of them was just like agree. Obviously they were all in agreement with each other.
Mm.
But like all three of them said something about like the whole blame, like dropping the blame game in it. And it's just like
one time I'd read John 9, and it's just basically the story is there's a man who's blind, who's born blind, and the disciples asked the question, why was this man born blind? They asked Jesus that question. And they say, was it because he sinned? Was it because his mother sinned?
Oh, yeah.
Or his mother or father sinned? Why was he born blind? And then Jesus says, he was not born blind for any of those reasons, but that
glory to
that God might be glorified. Mm. And it's, he's born blind so that God fulfills a prophecy. Well, God heals him.
Yeah. Mad.
That's why, like, so to be honest, it links with what I was going to say. With, like, when God does anything, he never makes a wrong decision.
Yeah.
Mm.
So when people do say it's an act of God, okay, so even if it is, it's still not a wrong decision.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so then it's, so for example, that person who was born blind in, like, let's use him, John 9. So, I can imagine, you know, him, like, maybe being in school or whatever, and all the kids would be like, oh, I couldn't be like him, I couldn't be blind, like, I wouldn't know what I'd do. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm thinking of some cruel kid jokes.
Kids are like, savage. You know? So savage. And just being like, him growing up, you know, fumbling his way through life, and people just like, oh, that could never be me. Like, oh, if it was me, I'd be able to handle it. You know, and we see it all the time with people, you know, they've had a car accident, now paralyzed. Oh, my days, like, how do you... I couldn't be like you. Yeah, and there's that pressure on that person to be strong. But I think at the end of the day, God didn't pick you to let that happen to you because he knew you wouldn't be able to get through it, essentially. No,
definitely. And also, like, one of the things that, like, I don't know, sometimes God does things because he's not concerned about us alone.
Mm. So I think to myself
of like, I think of the martyrs who died in the Reformation. Let's go back. Let's go to the early church. I ask myself, imagine the impact of these people who are being shunned by society and being mocked by society.
Mm.
For who and all these other people who know that Jesus rose again, but they don't believe that he's the Christ or the Messiah. And they know the tomb's empty. They know the account of the soldiers who were there, who one moment there. Anyway, they know. They just know. They know.
They know. They know.
And then there are these people who they're speaking to these people who don't know.
Mm.
And Satan decides, I'm going to kill them. And so God says, God allows it to happen. They get killed. And as Satan kills whoever this guy is, Stephen wins Paul.
Mm.
Paul is there. Paul is not only is he convicted, but he remembers, oh my goodness, I remember what happened at Stephen's death.
Yeah.
They see people being thrown to lions and Christian after Christian after Christian being tortured in amphitheatres and coliseums and whatever else.
Mm.
And people are just coming to Christ.
Mm. That's more another reason why people. The greatest evidence for Christianity is the fact that so many people have died. It can't just be a case of... people just following people. Do you know what I mean? People actually.
You don't die for nothing.
Exactly. True. But that's like, I read something that's the biggest evidence. And especially for just after with Christ's resurrection, things like that. That's why people can't really say much about it, especially those at that time, because it was like people actually readily sacrificing their lives.
Yeah.
For a cause. Do you know what I mean? So it's like
crazy things. People like Tacitus wrote about Jesus at the end of that time. People like Josephus, who was a Jew, wrote about Christ. So it's like it's documented.
I kind of want to go to the dream part of what.
Go on. Go to,
I don't even know where
the
was
chapter.
It? Yeah, the chapter.
Which dream? Job.
Yeah, Job.
Got it.
But it's not just Job who has it, is it? I think also...
Is it?
I think...
My impression it was just Job that had it.
Where, like, it goes, I'm the spirit, and he couldn't discern exactly what the spirit was.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to pause. Yeah, so that dream bit. When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then... Thou scarest me with dreams and terror. Who is he talking of here? He shall return no more into... Anyway, I'm just going to keep reading. Then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me with visions, so that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than life. I loathe it. I would... It's not quite the one that I was looking for. There's one where there's something he can't discern. Chapter 4, verse 12 says this. Now a secret thing, now a thing was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a little thereof. In thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, the hair of my flesh stood up, it stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes, there was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall a mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his... Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels are he charged with folly.
But who's speaking that?
That's the devil.
That's the devil.
Yeah, well, you see, that's why that's I said... I think it's the devil.
That's the devil.
But I'm not sure because I don't want to attribute what the Holy Spirit saying to.
He would have said Holy Spirit then.
But you're saying his angels charged with folly.
Yeah, as in they're charged with stupidness. Wait, it depends what folly means. That's the thing. Because I don't know what
I know what folly means.
No, I know what folly means, but I want to know the specific. I want to know the root word. I want to know
error. Error is error. Look,
error.
If his angels charged with error,
yeah, and he charged them with error, and he kicked them out. So is that a bad thing? That's why I need to work out. Is this being said? I want to work out. I don't know who's saying this, because let's go again.
Maybe it has to be the devil speaking there.
Then a spirit passed before.
So what verse are we starting from?
From verse 15.
Verse 15.
Then the spirit passed before, yeah. My face.
Okay.
I think it's Satan. No, deep, because
like,
even
when other people have visions, like
Daniel. It's clear. He knows. Literally. Oh, it's an. He sees the angel of. An angel. He'll see Gabriel, for example, and he knows who.
Exactly.
You know what? Let me do this.
I think it might be. I think it's Satan. Why would God not make himself clear?
Exactly. God always makes himself clear, but like. If you can't discern that figure, then it's it can't be.
His fearful vision. But God can make himself clear and we not
interpret
or see, perceive.
It might.
What? See,
I'm not sure.
See, I'm not sure.
And then upon reflection, as I was listening, I was like, was God in that time?
Who is this?
But you could get it wrong at the time.
I was thinking, who is this?
But not everything is revealed to us for us to
But, like, it might, like, I want, like, there'll be some.
I'm just saying. There's also that possibility.
But it's just something that I have a question
on. God makes himself known. God makes himself known. God makes himself known.
Charges his angel. How much less? So let's see what he's saying. Let's break down what he's saying. What the spirit says.
Yeah, come. Let's break it down.
Then the spirit passed before his face. What did you say?
I've got quite a few on my phone.
It's called a pastor.
I'm happy to. Javier. Yeah. I'm happy to imagine call a pastor live. Hello, we're recording a podcast. Catch him off guard. Oh, and we've got a pastor in training, a young man.
He's in my favorite.
Oh wow,
that's brilliant.
Is my dad as well, so it's all right.
That's all
It stood. What shall mortal man be more just than God? Question is no. Verse 16.
It's so hard for me.
It stood. Verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17.
Chapter 4 of Job.
Shall mortal man be more just than God? The answer to that question is no. One of the things I remark on is Satan asks things in like. Never mind. I don't know. Like, because Satan said, shall you surely die?
Can a strong man be more pure than his.
He likes to ask questions a lot.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Behold, he put no trust in his servants.
and charges his angels with error.
He put no trust in his servants.
That might, I think that
it's
is
the devil. It's the devil.
Bro. Yeah, I'm getting closer to that.
We got you.
No. Like, I thought initially, as I listened, I thought it was the devil, but I was trying to work out, like, as I was asking those questions, I was like, he hasn't given it. But when he's, yeah.
Oi!
What?
The devil's mad for that still.
Yeah, of course. Because,
even that kind of strong man,
what?
Be more pure than his maker. Go back to the thing in the garden with him.
I was literally thinking of Genesis.
Bro, literally, because like
the same type of deception.
It's like, yeah, the same type of deception when he went to Eve. Like,
you can be
like,
wiser.
You could be wiser.
Understand.
Whenever the devil compares you to gods,
yeah,
don't do it.
If this was God, talk.
Would God?
Because God would
compare him all the time. God would compare to himself.
Also, God has been silent so far.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But let's see what it says again. The same way that Thingibob spoke. So let's go one more time. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his servants are the angels as well. Put no trust in his servants,
his worshipers.
And his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in the houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? That sounds satanic. Does not their excellency which is in them? God says, oh wow, okay, go away. They die even without wisdom. Is it? I don't, Lord, if this is the Holy Spirit, yeah, speaking,
God,
forgive me, I say nothing, but
no, it's not, because David, all them times, yeah, God is just like, like, obviously this is his friend speaking.
Yeah.
God is just watching people around and like seeing how people are truly like, you get me? So even though God knows how Job is, it's still a test for Job. God is still like seeing if Job would actually like, if God can have his literally favourite with Job.
Yeah.
So obviously the test is to like see if Job would actually cross God anyway. So the fact that Job does it is good, but God is still testing Job anyway. Because God, you know, honestly,
can't,
God
can't
doesn't
an,
know.
Can't
God
we get
has
an
faith
idea
in
of who's speaking from the top of the chapter?
We know who's speaking. Eliphaz is
speaking.
The Temanite.
Yeah.
So he's the one speaking. Saying all these words, yeah?
Yeah.
But we don't know what it's inspired by.
But it's a spirit. He's relating something he has received in a vision.
The spirits are still, but I could not design its appearance.
Because even in his wife, though, when he's speaking...
So, like, yeah. I'm trying to think, when does the conversation end? Where does all of this end?
Like 33-ish? I think it's 33, because that's when...
Job just, like, has his final word and says everything. But then Job still continues speaking after.
This is what we'll, like,
We'll definitely have to do a part 2.
Yeah, we have to.
It's sad. We have to do a part 2.
No, but it's not sad. It's,
no.
I think
no,
even
I
the
didn't,
listeners
I didn't mean
will...
It like that.
Oh.
Sure, you didn't come.
Even the
I'm a boss. I'm a dash this forward the edge,
you know what I mean? This is some violence again, bro. This is lack of violence.
Shut up, man. Shut up.
Even yeah, if there's ooh.
Oh my name's camera.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Oh, where?
I'm gonna ask a pastor about that verse.
Are you gonna have to?
We could all do so. Listen, if there's a pastor who's listening to this.
You should be, because he said you were going to. So some of you.
Wow.
Is there a specific pastor you have in mind?
Any pastors A to Z.
Any
pastors with the last name A to Z.
Oh, okay.
You said you're going to.
I'm lost, but okay. But yeah. But yeah, that's how far we kind of pretty much go with it. I'm trying to think. Should we like? What have we?
We've covered.
Everyone's take home.
We've covered the friends. We've covered the friends bit.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, the most important bit, obviously, would come in, the most important bit would come in part 2.
Yeah.
But obviously, for right now, we can only give encouragement. So keep pressing on, literally.
Shall we summarise then?
Keep pressing on. Gonna have to.
By the way, if you listen to the podcast, by next time,
The next episode.
By the next episode. Let's, like, if you want to, try and read along as well.
Let's study on it.
Like, from chapter one to... Actually, do the whole chapter, and because the next episode will be covering the end. Sorry, the whole book. But I was thinking, should we, like, summarise?
I think one of my take on things is just watch kind of the friends that you do have around you. Because eventually, they kind of do, like... They sold too much, like... They got too much to say and they've not got the right things to say. I think I understand where it comes from, but I think if you have like the ultimate circle of friends will be the friends that
pray with you.
Understand. Obviously they did do that initially, but it started to deteriorate after a while.
I also want to see like because I want to see where how it ends with the friend. Like, I don't want to talk too much about the friend. Me, personally, I'm not going to talk too much about them because I want to see where it goes. Like, you guys might already know because I haven't got to the end.
I currently know where it goes. That's why I'm talking like this about the
friends. I'll defer to you on that.
No spoilers.
But, like, so far, like, with what we know so far, what are some of the things that you think, like, how would this account change anything about that? Like, change your life, change how you see things, change like anything.
I need to say something still.
Go on.
The thing that got me annoyed. Oh, I love that. Guys, I'm changing. Hey! I'm changing. But yeah, the thing that got to you was like when one of them was talking about the kids, it's like, yo, like, don't involve my kids like that. Because like, yo, I've had these kids. Like, I've been praying for them. And then you're going to come along and say that, like, maybe your kids have done this, your kids have done that. Like, your kids have been breaking backs and, like, you ain't been praying for them. You know what I mean? Like, you never know what we're saying. It's just like, yo, don't come and talk to my kids. Like, I'll tell them to get out of my house because, like, I want to hear that crap. Yo, man, that's what got to me, though.
Yeah. And then it's like this, they're speaking in it. Like, they're speaking, even Job, to a certain degree, they're all speaking ignorant of what is fully going on.
I suppose you would though, because you don't know what's going on. So like you're just covering all aspects of the situation that's been happening.
I think this just shows us that God doesn't always have to be like in contact with you. For you just have to know his character, you have to know the type of God you serve, because if you don't, then you'll be worse. Almost Job was described to be a perfect man, and he was ultimately, like, he proved himself. But us lot, me, you see me, I can't lie. I'm cursing God in that situation. I'm being really honest with myself.
If this happened today, bro, it's mad, because certain men, like, with their riches as well. And you're
faithful to God. And that's another thing as well. God knew Job's heart so deeply that he knew that he gave him the riches initially, but he knew he could take them away and give them back.
And he still maintained the consistency, the integrity.
Exactly.
So yeah.
Not sometimes God has to make you poor for a bit. Still, God knows you can't make you that rich.
There's some people whom God will never make rich. Nah, until heaven. Until our character says, "Yo, I can trust you with loads of money."
Definitely.
Like, I always thought to myself, like,
definitely.
if I had.
A certain amount of money.
The more money you have, the more time you have. Yeah?
Yeah, I agree.
Semi agree. Yeah.
That can be true. That also may not be true. No, it can be true. You are correct. There's some people, though, who when they have loads of money, they are still as
busy.
Which is a good thing. Because sometimes you'll have read stories of people who've won the lottery, won £140 million, whatever, like the Euro Millions, and half of that money's gone in no time. Sometimes all of the money's spent in no time. But the crazy thing also is, there's a reason, like, their lives are, not only are they no better by the end of the spending of that money,
they're worse. Because they're in 10 times more debt. Have you seen that one?
Not just 10 times more debt. They might be crackheads. Hooked on something. And God knows, look, if you're not going to my 9 to 5 every day, what work is, and I'm dead, and I then decide not to do God's work or to be helpful to people, or I don't decide. Satan's going to make work for my idle hands.
Yeah.
Like, but for me, one of the things I took away was like, one of the things I took away in the story is that I've forgotten my point. I'm trying to keep waffling until I get it without. It's like there's no pause. I forgot my point. You must speak.
Okay. I'm going to go through the alpha.
My take home, I think, from what we've done so far is the whole thing of kind of what I said before about God doesn't make a wrong decision. So if you are going through something, and I think when I've gone through things, I've always tried to have like a positive outlook in terms of this may serve me well, you know, later in life. I don't know why it is that I'm going through it right now, but I'm hopeful that this, I will look back on this situation and think, this is what God needed to do for me at this time and I needed it. And I can say for some of the things I've gone through, I can definitely say that that's happened. Yeah. And like, I'm thankful to God for it. So I think God doesn't make a wrong decision. If he has picked you to go through something, it's because he believes that you can actually go through it. He's not picked anyone else because you're actually the right person for the job, so to speak. Because he knows that he's going to bless you through it. You will still give glory to God, which is what he wants you to do. And you can actually bring others closer to him. So I think if you have that mentality, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, because it's definitely not going to be easy. But know that, see it as a blessing that God picked you for such a time as this.
Definitely.
Kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, mine's just like an extension of that, because like, it's just like God doesn't give you more than you can't handle. So yeah, that's actually it. Simple terms.
Also, the thing I thought was, Satan is clever. Fortunately, God is even cleverer. Or fortunately, God is more clever. The grammar of that goes. I'm talking too quietly. Basically, my point, I've realised I'm talking too quietly as I'm monitoring this. Anyway, Satan.
Always like has... Deadpool, you know. He's constantly talking in 4-4.
Oh, breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's me. I am. Satan will always want to get us to think a certain way. He did it with the angels. What he's doing when he's there is trying to influence the angels to think a certain way about God. Even with the use of Job's wife, when she says, "Why don't you curse God and die?" It might as well have been Satan in the room saying that directly to Job. But of course, Satan is cleverer than that. He's not gonna have himself stood there telling you, "Then you know what? I'd rather not listen to you." But instead, no, he'll get your best mate, your
the people around you.
Yeah.
Someone's opinion who you think of could be a boss.
Yeah. Yeah, like best, like someone you admire or whatever. He will, or someone you're, yeah, he will do that. He'll get someone to get you to do what he wants. And he's so clever at, he's a master of disguise.
Master of manipulation, man. Oof.
Yeah, master liar, master of disguise, all of that. But in any case, yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, I think
aware of it, basically.
I think okay.
As I will try to be.
I don't know. Like, we can say like, God will never give you more than you can bear. Obviously, we're saying this now, innit? But it really like just for someone like listening, like just really like deep that like you don't even know yourself, innit, as much as you think you do. God knows us way better. So I would say for anyone going through like a mad difficult time, just trust in God and trust that he knows your character even more than you do. You are much stronger. You are much more resilient. You are much more than what you think you are.
Are we trying to make you into that as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think...
Go on.
I remember going through something and, you know, my friends were really supportive, prayed for me, were there for me. And one thing that my friend would always say to me was like, you know what, T, you're always the strong one, like, out of us friends. Like, you're always the one who's, you know, helping other people, got other people's back, even though you're going through your own situation, things like that. And she was like, if that's what I can see in you, like, what can God see in you? And that will always stick with me, because I thought that I was at, well, I would not thought, I was at my weakest. Mm-hmm. But the fact that my friend could still see strength in that, I was literally just like...
not just a text, like, I don't have a text, I have an experience.
Mm. God, I was literally like, just like...
And I don't want to waffle, so I'm going to look for a text.
That gave me so much comfort, because that's the thing about when you're going through scenarios and situations, is that you may think, like, my world is turning upside down, and someone else can actually see the blessing that's happening to you. And it's crazy, because it's like, you're in it, like, nah, this is... And then that's why when you do give up and you do curse God, that's why it can cause such damage to, like, people around you, things like that, because they were seeing something else in you, and then you've done like a 180, and everyone's just like, wait, what's going on, kind of thing, because you don't always see what other people see, you don't always see what God sees. So it is important to, even though it's getting rough, you have to keep going and keep, you know, praying. What the thing
is, like, from personal experience, I know that there are times when there are times and things I've gone through where I have not known or seen what the way out would be. There are times when I've had to admit that there's nothing I can do, and I have felt there's nothing I can do. And when I said that to myself, I was like, wow. You feel vulnerable, yes, and you feel weak. And it's that thing that you said when you said you thought you were at your weakest.
Mm.
I think we are at our weakest. And I think the interesting thing, I think God, when God brings a trial on us or allows us to go through something or brings something on us, it's not because, I don't think, it's because he thinks that we're strong enough to bear it. It's because he knows that we will trust him enough.
Yeah, this is with God.
We are not, like, this is the verse that came to mind.
His strength is made perfect.
Woof! You said it. I don't need to read it. If you want to read it for yourself, it's 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 onwards. Yeah. I am gonna read it. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
It's that switch in that mentality. How can you say I take pleasure in? So it's like Job when he was got in those boils. I'm happy because I know that's where this is actually showing me. These boils on my skin is showing me God's strength, not the weakness of my body. It's actually mad. Like, your mentality is everything.
Yeah.
Like, but like, days.
Even though to me, like, I pray every day. As Cameron said, I know that I probably would have cursed God, or I would have definitely thought, "Well, God clearly despises me."
Someone out there don't like me.
But like, I've got good skin. To think, Job thought, it's a crazy thing to say. Yet, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Or it's a crazy thing to think that even. To just hold on. Like, to me, it's not even like Job is like so confused. In fact, there's a term where he talks about his confusion. There's a point where he talks about his confusion. Mm-hmm. All he's doing is like, in my head, I picture him in an ocean. And I picture him with a lifeboat. And over the horizon is a ship coming to his rescue and he can't see the ship. And he has a choice of like, do I let, if he let, he can't, if he lets go of the lifeboat, of the life jacket or the life raft or the ring, whatever it is, he's done. All he can do is hold on. And sometimes literally all we can do in life, if we're going through it, sometimes is just hold on day to day, just literally clinging on. The lifeboat is just over the horizon. And even when we think it's not going to get there in time, it will. Like, to me, that's... And even though I'm saying this, I'm not saying this like I'm saying this to myself. It's a reminder to myself that, yo, the lifeboat is just over the hill. Over the hill, over the horizon.
I've got this, like, last quote. It's from a devotion I was reading from YouVersion. It says, despite how incredibly harsh pain appears from our perspective, God only gives Satan enough rope to hang himself with. It's never enough to drag us away from God's presence. So it's almost like, you know, when they had that meeting originally in heaven, where it's like, obviously God allowed, but he's like, okay, here's the rope that I'm allowing you, take it. But it's actually going to be to your own detriment, not to me.
Or to the person.
Exactly.
Or to Joel.
So, like, when I read that quote, I was literally just like, yeah. Because it, in terms of, obviously, Satan didn't win. So, it was enough rope to hang himself, as in, like, he wasn't victorious. And it didn't drag Job away from God. It technically brought him closer to him. So, yeah. Just wanted to, like, share that.
Here ends part one.
Hope you guys enjoyed.
Yeah, part one done. Part two
pending. Oh, I would have been sick of the episode the same way, but it's alright.